TalkZone.com.
Now, TalkZone presents Our Global Hope, World-Changing Leadership Talk, featuring Dr. Henrik Mann, discussing higher standard leadership through a broad scope of issues in the worlds of business, politics, nonprofits, international development, environment, media, and religion. Here's your host for Our Global Hope, Dr. Henrik Mann.
Hello, listeners again of Our Global Hope. It's time for more World-Changing Leadership Talk. We're here to explore our world through the lens of leadership, to give people a voice on what good leadership looks like from their local reality, and to explore the implications of a new triple bottom line definition of success, one that is focused on advancing the dignity of people, growing profit, and protecting the welfare of the planet. I'm Dr. Henrik Mann, president of GenCom International, a global management consultancy and brokerage. And you can learn more about our show by looking us up on the web at www.ourglobalhope.com. Our listener call-in line today is 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-GO-FOR-IT, and we hope you will. I want to apologize ahead of time for my voice. It may go in and out during the show. I've got a little cold, and I'm trying to overcome it, and I'm going to invite our part-time guest host, Charlie Self, to take some of the lead as we share with our guest, Mr. Gerald
Harris. I'm happy to join with you, Henrik, today. This is Charlie, and we've got an exciting guest.
We do. Well, last week on Our Global Hope, we discussed the power of history and the understanding that we were getting about the leadership legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. through the archives of the Amistad Research Center of Tulane University in New Orleans. This week, we have another exciting guest who can open up many avenues of exploration regarding great leadership. His name is Gerald Harris. Gerald is president of Harris Planning and Strategy, which he founded in 2001. His company specializes in assisting businesses and nonprofit organizations in a wide range of planning tasks, including facilitating group planning sessions, facilitating strategic planning, and writing business plans. In his career, Gerald served as a senior consultant with Global Business Network for 15 years, where he became a specialist in scenario analysis. While there, Gerald worked with a wide range of organizations in the business community and nonprofit sector. He was a lead consultant for many of GBN's electric utility industry scenario projects and is a recognized and published expert in this area. And we will certainly want to talk about his book, The Art of Quantum Planning, Lessons from Quantum Physics for Breakthrough Leadership and Innovation. Let me continue to share a little more about Gerald. Gerald's work outside the corporate sector has included working with non-governmental organizations in community development, regionalism, environmental policy, and education. He has led consulting engagements for major foundations, national environmental organizations, and public agencies. Prior to joining GBN, Gerald spent 13 years at Pacific Gas and Electric Company, Northern California's largest utility. As director of business planning for the engineering and construction division, he was responsible for providing strategic and business planning services to a 4,700-person business unit. He started the PG&E. He started there in the corporate finance department, where he specialized in project and asset-based financing. Before joining PG&E, Gerald was a financial analyst in international project finance at Bechtel Corporation. Gerald received his bachelor's degree in economics from Morehouse College, where he graduated as a member of the Phi Beta Kappa, and an MBA in finance and business economics from the University of Chicago. Welcome, Gerald.
Thank you very much, Heinrich. It's my pleasure to meet with you and chat with you and Charles as well. Good morning.
Good morning. You have a very impressive background. I I know that the listeners will want to know a little more about you. Can you fill in some more about your personal journey and your career journey and how you've gotten to a place of writing a book on quantum physics as it's related to leadership?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. You know, I think I sort of anchor my career really at the time I spent at PG&E and certainly at Global Business Network, in the sense that I really learned what strategic planning was all about, not only in sort of a big capital-intensive company like PG&E that makes, you know, really big long-term investment decisions, but then also, you know, how are these decisions made? And when I then met the people at GBN while I was at Pacific Gas and Electric, I really learned about this sort of long-term scenario thinking. And what really intrigued me about it was the first time I was able to think in such a broad way about how the future would unfold and then think about that in a good strategic way. So I sort of anchor my thinking and learning, you know, in that experience, and happened to be actually working on a scenario project in the power industry several years ago, and stumbled upon this movie called What the Bleep Do We Know, and was really fascinated by the ideas in that movie, and realized that a lot of the thinking there was just a lot more creative and open than what I was, you know, experiencing working with 20 CEOs in a room thinking about the power industry. And the question in my mind was, how do I bring these two things together? How do I bring the kind of creative, open thinking that, you know, was argued in that movie that really founded in the universe? How do I bring that into industry? And that's sort of what brought the book about.
You know, for our listeners, many of them will probably know about the power of the sun to send large gaseous clouds or power at an energy level towards the Earth, and that could possibly knock out all our utilities and energy systems. I'm just wondering if you can comment on that as one of those scenarios that people don't always plan for, but that all utilities could go down at some point.
Well, you know, and that has happened periodically when there's, you know, a big electromagnetic wave that comes. But, you know, of course, a lot of that is shielded by, you know, the atmosphere. But, yeah, it can happen, and it does happen occasionally, you know, when that happens. But, actually, those kinds of things I don't fear too much because, you know, the ability to recover these systems is actually quite good. They don't actually, you know, destroy the systems. They just sort of bring them down. And I remember in the 90s, I was here in California when a tree branch up somewhere in Oregon, you know, knocked out a power line up there, and it cascaded throughout the West Coast. And so we've had these kinds of things. But I would say those are the least kinds of things we worry about, because people, good engineers, have thought of these kinds of things, and they know how to solve them. But, yeah, I think it's one thing to look at, but that's not one I would worry about right off the bat.
Sure. Well, as you think about planning, Charlie, what would you suggest we start on in conversation with Gerald?
Well, I think for our listeners and for me too, I think one of the most exciting concepts that he's bringing to us is, and it's a world-changing concept, and that is when you start talking about quantum physics and planning, one of the things we can do is set a little context here. It's only been this last century that quantum physics has fully come into the attention of the scientific world, and it makes its way from the high levels of academics into our perceptions. But what we're really talking about is not that there is no order to the universe or that everything is random. We're not suggesting that. But quantum physics creates possibilities and openness both in the cosmos itself and in human consciousness that I think is so different from the closed systems of thinking. And I think, Gerald, what I'm looking forward to hearing is how you help people get unlocked from their closed systems of thinking into something far more creative.
Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly my core idea in writing the book. And what I'll add to that, and I'll give you an example, is that I think this is really important because we are entering an age where, with technology growth, globalization, and these kinds of things, we now have tools and power to affect, you know, human destiny in ways that were just thought to be impossible. And if you add to that at some point where we may go with genetic engineering, we are entering a very, very different age. And my view is we need to have a much more open and different way of thinking about this, so that when we're making these decisions, we can actually get the kind of innovation that we want. So my idea was to say, well, wait a minute, where is there some really, really solid thinking that's grounded in science that can serve as an example for us? And that's my began to look at quantum physics. Now let me give you an example, because I think this is the one that, if you can hold this in your head, it might anchor your thinking. There's something in physics called the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. And that's a lot, a mouthful, but what it basically means is simply this. You cannot simultaneously know the position and the velocity or speed of an electron. Now, the reason this is the case is because when you are trying to figure out one, you are influencing the other. So when you're trying to figure out what the position of it is, you are influencing the velocity. And when you're trying to figure out what the velocity is, you're influencing the position. So what this says is that at the base, tiniest level of the universe, there is always some uncertainty. There's a limit to what you can know. Now, what this also says, importantly, is that how you observe it, to some degree, determines what it is. And this is the most profound thought, I think, in all of quantum physics. In fact, it actually threw Einstein for a loop, because, you know, Einstein's quote that, you know, the universe, God doesn't gamble with the universe, was really arguing this point that literally the point of view of the observer affects what's there. Now, the physicists have just, you know, they've proven this. This is without a doubt true. Now, if you take that concept and expand that, well, what does it say about us as in running our organizations? Well, it says a couple of things. One, it says there's some things that we're simply not going to be able to know. But more importantly, what we do know depends on the position from which we are observing it, which means everybody's point of observation has some legitimacy to it. And where that leads me to is, well, if that's true, you only have one solution going forward, which means you have to stay open and you have to have a learning forward attitude. See, so what I've done is I've gone all the way from the physics to how we should actually now relate to one another. And that's the core idea of the book.
And where this really is revolutionary, both in business and for nonprofits, for communities, even for families and personal planning, is the synergy that comes when you get more than one perspective and integrate them and be willing to take the risk of experimentation.
Exactly. Totally, that's it. In fact, the very first idea in the book is what I call a non-duality. Now, what I mean by that is not just, you know, this versus that. What I'm saying about that is that when you here's a classic example that I think is really important. Now, I remember hearing Barack Obama say, this is not red America. This is not, you know, blue America. This is the United States of America. So what he did there was he just cut right to the integrated piece and not stuck in the opposites or the duality, because what tends to happen is when you assume a position there, it closes down thinking. And that's the key point.
In philosophy, we call this the either-or fallacy. And what you're really creating is more than just a both-and, but a third possibility that didn't exist before, because you've decided ahead of time that you don't have to, not in every case, but in many cases, you don't have to live with an absolute duality.
Right, right. In fact, in most cases, an absolute duality is really a deception of the mind, and it's one that actually is very close attached to the ego, because the ego wants to simplify life to protect itself, so it wants to then take a position.
What I see, Gerald, you writing about this issue of non-duality is that we must see things and ideas for what they are and the direction they are moving. The needs and desires of a customer can be both discrete and continuous. The purpose of the organization
absolutely.
Can be very specific and multifaceted. When you see that kind of thinking in the boardroom, do you get excited, or do you sense that in the boardroom many times, as you've been a consultant, that there's been more of an unhealthy groupthink?
Generally, there's an unhealthy groupthink that is politically construct it in the sense that, you know, when you're in an organization, you have to decide whose team, whose side you're going to be on, right? Most people get ahead in organizations not because of what they know, but because of who they know, right? And so the who they know part then puts you in a position where you have to agree with Bob because, you know, or Sally is because you're on their team, right? That's when the thinking gets, you know, pushed into what I call this, you know, false duality. And it's very, very destructive in organizations. And, you know, the classic case that we're all, you know, one we're witnessing right now is the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Or even Merrill Lynch is even a greater case because here you had a case where a CEO decided that they were going to go hog wild into the
derivatives
business and the subprime loan business. And basically, anyone who disagreed with that was fired or removed. There was a tyrant who was running that part of the organization. This is all laid out in the New York Times piece on the collapse of Merrill Lynch, and they have the names, the faces, and everything else. But what you see is that people believe a certain thing, like we're going to make millions of dollars forever and forever, you know, in this market. Anyone who disagrees with that is out, and therefore you're then stuck in the groupthink and in the negative duality. And it destroys organizations, it destroys careers, and it destroys people as well.
Well, as we go into our first break, I want to remind listeners that our listener call-in line is 1-888-463-6748, and that you can learn more about our show at www.ourglobalhope.com. We'll be right back with Mr. Gerald Harris for more world-changing leadership talk.